DVTV presents the Ponds Data Governance Bowl, where the defending champion Crosstown Logistics will be taking on the legendary pressure of the Ventura Breakers. Hello again, everybody. This is Ben Counter, along with my partner, Hall of Famer Pete Webster, and we are ready for what promises to be an epic matchup.
That's right, Ben. Crosstown is putting its platinum reputation and its 10-1 record on the line against the Breakers in an offense that's built around their number one playmaker. He strikes terror on the sideline and in the boardroom. Mr. and Mrs. Brooks named him Eugene, but the rest of the world knows him as Slash.
He's enough to make you forget about that guitar-playing guy.
And that's for sure. He'll cut you down until there's nothing left, leaving you gutted and bleeding until the creditors mop you up and cart you away.
On the other side of the ball, Crosstown is reeling from some unexpected roster changes, releasing most of their starting lineup.
It's a bold move. They still have several quality players, but they'll need to step up their game to be competitive today.
Well, it looks like the pregame festivities have been concluded, and Crosstown has the kickoff.
It's critical that Crosstown get off to a good start. Their execution in these first few minutes will set the tone for the whole day.
Crosstown will be defending the West goal, wearing their distinctive blue, brown, and orange jerseys. They'll be moving right to left on your podcast dial.
Makes me long for black and white TV.
The Crosstown players are gathering for the morning scrum. The PowerPoint is up. Bob Twitt is barking orders in the huddle.
You know, we haven't heard a lot out of Bob recently. It's good to see him back in the game.
And I think that senior vice president Evelyn Vale is in there as well now.
Yes, she is. Evelyn was drafted by the prestigious Ledgerfield Group after graduating with an MBA from Western State University. She spent 6 years with Ledgerfield before being traded to Crosstown, where she's now finishing her second season.
It's unusual to see her this early in the game.
That's right. Head coach Todd Corporate usually keeps her on the sideline, saving her for special situations. Her presence really underscores the importance of this game.
It has got to be a real boost to the team to have her there. Okay, team's breaking huddle. They're filing out of the conference room and returning to action.
This is exactly the kind of start that we said Crosstown needed to win.
Look, Evelyn had only made it a few yards when she was stopped by Chief Financial Officer Bradley Carrington.
Bradley is another recent Crosstown addition and has a reputation for being a real playmaker.
Let's listen in on their conversation using DVTV Game Sound, registered trademark.
Look, in 2 weeks we're taking on the Capital City Regulators. And I really need those Piston Initiative reports. I don't understand why your team is spending so much time obsessing over the data. Just give it to me, and my folks will take it from there.
How about this? I'll call an audible and direct the team to make a copy of the data for you to use. We can't let anything get in the way of delivering on all 8 cylinders.
You know the pressure we're getting from the board and from our shareholders.
Oh, I do. I do. I'll get right on it.
Uh-oh, there's a penalty flag out on the field. No doubt on Vail.
That's blocking data governance behind the back.
That's a 15-week technical debt penalty.
That's a bad sign for Crosstown, but a very common penalty.
I'm not sure that Crosstown will be able to recover from a blow like that so early in the game.
It's a shame, too. Their technical debt level is up to number 3 in the league, and that's not a leaderboard you want to be on top of.
There appears to be some action on the other side of the field. Let's see if we can catch up with it. Dawson cuts left into his cubicle. He is one of the league's best data modelers and a 3-time All-Star. Logical data models are his specialty. And it looks like he's opening up a blank canvas in SchemaWorks.
Oh, there's no need to do that. The game has evolved. Doing a data model from scratch is a wasted play.
Wait, it's a fake. He's using the tool's AI capability to analyze the corporate reports and automatically generate a starting point data model. That's a big gain for Crosstown.
The AI assist doesn't get him all the way down the field, but it does get him most of the way, and he certainly doesn't have to start backed up deep in his own territory.
Across the aisle, Jenkins has picked up the phone and appears to be dialing up the marketing analysis lead.
That's a gutsy call.
The connection is complete. He has a business purpose. He scores!
We'll see if this early lead holds up for Crosstown. That penalty by senior vice president is likely to continue to haunt them. We'll see if Coach Corporate says anything to her at halftime.
With a break in the action, let's take a look back at some of the clips from this past season that didn't make the show the first time. Let's throw it back to John and Mark in the DVTV studio. This is John Ladley.
And Mark Cooper. Welcome to this special edition of the Rock Bottom Data Feed.
It's been quite a season featuring our deep dive into data and artificial intelligence.
Sure has. I know I've learned a lot from our guests, and I've made some changes in the way that I work as a result.
Me too. But, you know, the conversation sometimes went on a little long or veered off into topics that didn't fit the theme. We saved those bits, right?
Absolutely.
What about Rosie Krantz and Goldie Stern? I'd like to think that everybody listens to all of the episodes, but just in case there's somebody out there that missed one, maybe they could hear the whole thing here?
Yep, we've got them too. So to close out our third series, we bring you the full, uncut, uninterrupted story of Rosie Krantz and Goldie Stern at the AI Bootstrap, sponsored by Outplaced, as well as a compilation of bonus insights and outtakes.
We hope you enjoy. Good morning. Mind if I sit here?
No, not at all. Come on in. Have a seat.
Thanks. I'm Roman Krantz with Consolidated International.
Did you say Rosenkrantz?
No. Roman Krantz. Some of my so-called friends called me Rosie when we were growing up.
Imagine that. What are the odds?
What do you mean?
Well, my name's Gilbert Stern, and you can probably guess my nickname.
Goldie?
Yep. That's it. Amazing. Rosie Krantz and Goldie Stern.
Roman.
Right. Roman. Sounds like our neighborhoods both had the same warped sense of humor. Where'd you grow up, anyhow?
Pittsburgh. You?
Same. North Hills?
No, South Hills. Well, must be a regional thing.
Could be. You know, I had a friend with a stuffed donkey named Hody.
Cute.
So, what do you do at Consolidated International?
I like to think of myself as Red Adair, troubleshooter extraordinaire.
Who's Red Adair?
He's that guy that went around putting out oil well fires.
Oh, that's right. I remember.
Well, that's me. Need to know something about corporate systems, process, data, pretty much anything. I'm the guy. I enjoy helping people, and I really like digging into the nuances of the company's data.
Sounds fun.
It is. How about you? I see on your badge you're with Omnibox.
Well, I was, for more than 20 years.
Oh.
Yeah, I got the layoff letter last week. I'd signed up for the conference a couple of months ago, and the registration and travel expenses were already prepaid. So, here I am.
Yeah, I keep hearing that AI has taken all the corporate jobs.
Yep, seems to have gotten mine. One minute, great job. Next minute, poof.
Well, I'm sorry. What'd you do?
I was lead data architect.
We had some of those, but our department's policy was not to return their calls. We called them the red tape dispensers. Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't make light of that.
That's all right. We heard a lot of that. It wasn't totally undeserved, but I'll bet that you get more than a few questions that you thought the callers could have answered themselves if they had the information about the systems and the data available to them.
Sounds like you're speaking from experience, and it's true. Sometimes I do get the same couple of questions over and over and over and over again. At one point, I tried to get rtfm@consolidated.com as my email address, but they wouldn't let me.
And I also bet that yours wasn't the only group that didn't answer emails from the data team. It's probably how the information didn't make it into TFM for them to R. But apparently data expertise wasn't a priority at Omnibox either, because I got the boot and was replaced by a college kid with a ChatGPT login.
So, you're here at the AI Bootstrap to meet the enemy.
Yeah, I suppose so. Mainly, I just wanted to learn about it. I'm not sure it really matters much now. But I don't have anything else on my calendar. I do know it promises the one thing that the big shots can't resist.
What's that? More revenue? Bigger bonuses? Stock options?
Nope. The driver of all executive decisions, lower headcount.
Oh, so true. And I keep hearing about how generative AI was going to generate all these new and better jobs.
Me too. Companies are going all in on it, burning the ships before they even know it's going to work out.
The first annual AI Bootstrap, brought to you by Outplaced, will begin momentarily in the Magellan Ballroom.
We'd better get inside before the place fills up.
Here, let me grab my stuff. I'll walk with you. Who's the first speaker?
I think it's a conversation on this very topic.
Sounds like they're starting.
We join the keynote already in progress.
And it has tremendous potential. The time to start learning about AI is now. And the place is right here at the AI Bootstrap, sponsored by Outplaced, the AI-driven HR software for the 22nd century organization. I trust these next few days will be filled with sessions that will prompt you to think about using AI for your work as well as for yourself. Thank you, and enjoy the rest of the conference.
Well, what do you think?
I think we have some catching up to do.
No doubt. I also took a bunch of notes with ideas to take back to Consolidated International from the presentation. I wonder if anybody's working on any of this. I haven't heard anything.
Well, it might be top secret.
Possibly. What about you?
I mean, I don't have a company to take ideas back to since I got ejected from Omnibox, but I particularly like the part where he was talking about the...
Oh, hang on. Text message from the boss. Please check your email.
Wow, I'm sure glad that my boss didn't text me whenever he sent me an email. My phone would never stop buzzing.
Me neither. He's never done that before. Well, let's see here. This must be what he's talking about. Roman Krantz. This letter is confirmation that your role has been selected for elimination.
I'm so sorry. Nothing like that personal touch. Text message and an email. At least my Dear Gilbert Stern letter was a Zoom call.
To receive your severance benefits, you must sign and return the separation agreement within 21 days and participate in an on-site knowledge transfer exercise tomorrow?
Wait, tomorrow? Really? Do they know that you're here?
Apparently so, and they want me to train my replacement.
It sounds familiar. Just tie decades of experience up into a neat package and hand it off to an intern with a ChatGPT login. Now, I noticed that use for AI wasn't mentioned in the keynote.
No. Looks like there's nothing left for me here. Might as well head for the airport.
Right now?
Well, what else is there to do? You saw the letter. It's like I'm a dead man walking.
Doesn't that seem a little dramatic?
Maybe.
Well, look, you're here now. Stay through the rest of the day. I'm sure there's at least one flight that leaves tonight. Go to a couple of sessions and walk around the expo hall. Consider it preparation for your next adventure on the old company's dime. You never know what'll happen.
I suppose I could do that.
I'm signed up for the Getting Started workshop.
Me too.
Well, then let's get started.
Later, the Getting Started session has just finished.
Hey, Rosie.
It's Roman.
Yeah, right, Roman. Where'd you run off to? It's the Getting Started workshop was just getting started when you bolted.
I got a call from my wife.
Already?
She heard from one of her friends about the layoffs at Consolidated Insurance International.
And you told her?
I did.
And she said?
Actually, she wasn't concerned. Turns out she's run off with a data scientist.
Ouch. Didn't see that one coming.
Me neither.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I think that one's going to be on the chopping block soon. Who knows? He might be here next year.
Oh, we could only hope.
So, you missed the whole rest of the presentation?
No, I was only out for a couple minutes. I was sitting in the back.
Okay, so you saw most of it.
I remember how I mentioned after the keynote I had some ideas for Consolidated?
I do.
Well, I think we can really make AI work for me. You know, AI always seemed like this menacing technology that gobbled up jobs and taken over the world.
Yeah, me too. You know, I just watched Demon Seed on the Classic Movie Channel.
Isn't that the one where the AI gets trained by someone reading books, and then later it traps the scientist's wife in the house and impregnates her?
Yeah, something like that. You know, when you think about it, sitting in the room reading books to the AI is kind of how ChatGPT got trained. Except that it ingests the books much, much faster. And maybe you should introduce your wife.
Tempting, tempting. Have you ever seen Colossus?
No, what's that about?
Colossus is a Defense Department computer that teams up with its Soviet counterpart to take over the world.
AI in the Cold War. It must have been 60s or early 70s.
Excuse me, aren't you Goldie Stern from Omnibox?
Well, sort of, on both counts. It's Gilbert Stern, and I'm no longer with Omnibox, but yes.
I'm Claude Esking from New Providence Partners. I saw your talk at the Megadata Associates Conference earlier this year. Data architecture to accelerate business value, or something like that.
Great memory.
Listen, I've been tasked with building an AI practice for New Providence. I'm here gathering ideas and talking with people.
Well, if you're looking for ideas, let me introduce you to Roman Krantz.
Pleased to meet you, Roman. I see you're with Consolidated International.
Well, I was till about 90 minutes ago.
You know, Rowan was just telling me about some of the ideas he had for using AI at Consolidated. They'd probably work just as well at New Providence.
I'd love to hear them. Frankly, I don't know much about AI. I hired an intern with a ChatGPT login. But that's not the hard part. What I need are people that understand the business, who can provide the context.
Well, that's refreshing. Lately, it seems that the people that understand the business are getting replaced with new hires.
Or AI.
Or AI.
Or contractors.
Especially contractors.
What are you doing after the conference tomorrow? I'd like to talk more.
Oh, I'm sorry, I can't. I've been ordered back to Consolidated to train my replacement. Otherwise, I forfeit my severance.
Look, let me make a couple calls. Why don't we meet in the restaurant off the lobby in an hour?
It works for me. Next session's just about to start. We'll meet you there afterward.
Sounds good. Hey, do you have a card I could take with me?
Sure. Just a second. I'll write my personal email address on the back.
Here you go.
Thanks. See you shortly.
Roman and Gilbert arrive at the hotel restaurant to meet with Claude Esking.
Hello again.
Have a seat.
Thanks for meeting with us. It's a nice restaurant. Band sounds good.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. What can I get you to drink?
Yes, I'll have an old Bandersnatch bourbon.
For lunch?
Why not? There's no clock to be on.
That's a good point. I'll have one, too.
Make that three.
Very good. I'll be right back with those.
Thank you.
I appreciate you taking the time to meet. I mentioned before that I'm looking for people who understand business and can provide context for the AI. I made a few calls, and if you're interested, I'd like to invite you to join us at New Providence. You would start out as independent contractors, and if everything works out, we could transition you to full-time.
That's a very generous offer. And while I can't speak for Goldie...
Gilbert.
Right, Gilbert. While I can't speak for Gilbert, I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to accept, at least not for a little while. I have to go back tonight and train my replacement for the next 3 weeks. Otherwise, I don't get any severance. It's not much, but it's necessary.
Do you mind if I take a look at the severance agreement?
It's confidential, and I
understand. Tell you what, I'll write a number on a napkin, and you tell me if that would cover the severance.
Yes. That would cover it.
Call it a signing bonus.
So, Gilbert, what do you think?
I think this could be the start of a new partnership. Stern and Krantz.
Or the other way around.
What are you going to do about the flight home and training your replacement?
The only reason for signing the severance agreement and all that was the pay. And if that's covered, then I need to write a letter of my own.
Do we need for the drinks to get here before you start?
Great idea, but no. Here, let me get my laptop out. Okay, new letter. Right. Dear Mr. Hamnet Prince.
That's your boss?
Yeah.
Of course he is.
Yeah. I have considered the severance offer as well as the opportunity to train my replacement, and I have decided to forego both. Thank you for 25 wonderful years at working at Consolidated International. And
you really mean that?
Yeah, I do.
But I thought you were there longer than that.
I was. 25 wonderful years and 3 less not so wonderful years.
Got it.
Thank you for 25 years at Consolidated International, and I have decided to pursue other opportunities effective immediately. Best of luck in your future endeavors. Signed, Roman Krantz. I guess that says it. Okay. And sent.
Your phone is buzzing.
Yeah, I know. It's my boss.
Here, let me answer it.
Be my guest.
Good afternoon. Roman Krantz's phone.
Hello. Is Roman there, please?
No, I'm sorry. Roman Krantz is no longer available. I'm his associate. Is there something I can help you with?
Yes. I wouldn't call unless it was a real emergency. We're having problems with one of our key regulatory reports. The numbers aren't matching up, and we need someone with his specific experience to troubleshoot. We need him dialed in and online immediately.
You must not have seen the email he just sent.
I saw it, and I understand that the timing couldn't be worse, but this is an emergency. We need our Red Adair. You know who Red Adair is?
Yes, I do.
I was just hoping that there was some loyalty left and he could just help us out a little.
Unceremoniously cut loose after more than 25 years and you're talking about loyalty?
Look, please, could you just ask him?
Okay. He was just here a minute ago. Hold, please, and I'll try to find him. Well?
Seriously?
That's what I thought. Hello? I just spoke with Roman, and while he appreciates your most generous offer, he must respectfully decline. Thank you for your interest. Goodbye.
Wait, they're going to fire me if this doesn't get fixed.
Well, then maybe we'll see you here at the AI Bootstrap next time. Goodbye. He's calling back.
Here, give it to me. Let's see. And blocked.
All right, it's all set. I just emailed the documents. You should have them shortly.
Looks like Rosie Krantz and Goldie Stern are not dead.
Nope. We're just getting started.
Since this is a radio show, what you can't see yet is that John's Zoom meeting background is a photo of the studio at the radio station where he worked many years ago. This came up during our conversation with Kelly O'Neill and Greg Luce. This clip also gives you a bit of the behind the scenes of our famous game show as we prepare Kelly and Greg to play.
Go ahead and be irreverent. We're good because every so often Mark has to put a beep in for me when I get really wound up. And I think the industry needs a beep.
Yes. Yeah, don't change
that. You know, now and then. And we do work hard on this. Mark is our editor and main producer. You can see behind me my background here. I'm reliving my radio days and having like the best time ever. This is the best. By the way, that is where I worked.
That's hysterical. I love that.
That's where I worked. Connellsville, Pennsylvania. Yeah. FM 103.
Pittsburgh suburb, right?
Serving the Allegheny Mountains. The other thing we do is now we have our game show. So I'm going to introduce the game show. Okay. And you're each going to have, and I have to do a share here of our things. You're each going to get a little tune. What I need from you is I'll listen to it for a moment or two. Then I'll fade it down and you tell me the music is evocative. So you tell me what feeling it evokes again in a data industry context. So I'm going to do that. Kelly, we'll go first here. And I have an item already. We're going to play it. And then you just tell me what it evokes and in the context. Okay. So first I'm going to introduce it. Knowing you need to do something and actually doing it are two very different things. Greg had some interesting insights on the question at the very end of our call.
Clearly, companies are starting to recognize the need for data quality to support AI, but do you find that they're recognizing it enough to actually start doing something about it? You had mentioned earlier about how, you know, they start doing agents, they start doing some of this, you know, some of the local generative, local LLMs, but is this actually motivating action in the data quality area, or is it still in the talking phase?
So it's really still solved in silos. That's the problem. And you could do it because it was segmented, right? Analytics didn't need governance for crying out loud, but they could solve data quality problems as they came up. Now, how are you going to do that? I've got it in 14 different things, and the model needs to be able to kind of read off one. So that's where it's opportunity, though. And I think that the assessments that I see in conversations we have, they're looking at kind of from an engineering perspective, where can they get kind of scale solutions, but getting feedback from each of the groups to be able to say, look, what have you been doing? And I think you'll see a big consolidation in those approaches, and CIOs will be putting in kind of more enterprise-wide things.
Okay. So there's the recognition in the conversations.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to wrap it there. Give these guys a couple of minutes back so they can, because they have another call in 7 minutes. I know these two. They have, each one of them has another call. Day. So we're going to
get back.
We will let you know when it drops. I think right now we're three or four weeks.
Oh, fantastic.
Nick Guy, the four episode arc we had last year with the detective, the noir data detective.
Ooh,
data noir.
Cool.
It was popular enough that we've just strung all four episodes together, the cold openings, as one episode connected.
Nice.
as a radio play.
Nice.
And so that's there. So nice. We're working
that's
on that
fun.
Too.
Cool.
All right, guys.
All right, guys. See ya.
Thanks very much, y'all.
Appreciate it.
Total
Cheers.
Pleasure. Bye. Take care. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. During our conversation with Doug Laney, John got off on a rant about executives needing to increase their knowledge about data and some of the challenges we have in making that happen.
Rant alert. Rant alert. Rant alert. We're good.
The root cause you were...
Well, so for the root cause thing, is my root cause is we have not convinced leadership of, because anytime you talk about value or anything, wherever that is, mm-hmm. it still comes back to, as a CEO, this is something mm-hmm. you must think about and you must mm-hmm. understand, because most CEOs say, well, yeah, data is really important and I'm Jamie Dimon and here's my committee to deal with that. All right. I mean, I ask ChatGPT and other things is, which examples of executives have actually publicly said, I'm going to get smarter about this data topic. And I cross-reference a bunch of things. And there's maybe six examples in the last 30 mm-hmm. years where a mm-hmm. CEO has publicly embraced and committed to being smarter about something they weren't smart about the year before. Then that, I think we need a lot more of that. But that's where that's where I think it is. If you're a Jamie Dimon or a really powerful, good CEO, and someone says to you, you know, cybersecurity is really important, and which he has said publicly is it's on his, remember, a CEO has five mm-hmm. things on their desk, no more, no less. Mm-hmm. That's all they have. So for a number six to come along, that means one of the five has to fall off. And mm-hmm. Jamie Dimon put cybersecurity and privacy on his top five. All right. And that meant something fell off and got delegated. That's where we've got to go. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of work to do. Doug, your stuff mm-hmm. is core to that. Okay. Later, we asked Doug about his go-to data management success story. His book, Data Juice, is full of examples to inspire or shame practitioners into doing better with their data. He even has a chatbot that he uses in his classes, trained with more than 1,000 examples that can be used to generate and test ideas. Doug, so here's we've talked about your Data Juice, mm-hmm. which is a compilation of good things, right? And I just had a talk this morning with someone we've had on before, and he was talking about the lack of juicy, good case studies and stories at like the HBR level, where you would read about it in terms of general public availability. What is your, what's your go-to success story? Data oversight, data management using data. What's your go-to example that you'd want to see in Harvard Business Review?
It's a good one. I really love the Lockheed Martin story, mostly because I gave them that idea.
So well, that's cool. That's cool.
So I'm speaking at a conference on and I'm talking about dark data, you know, on or underutilized data. Mm-hmm. And somebody raises his hand. He says, well, what dark data do we possibly have? And it turns out he was the CIO for one of the big four consultancies. And I said, well, you're probably sitting on an archive of emails and project communications. You're in the business of running successful projects. Are you actually analyzing those project communications for early warning signs of project issues related to scope or budget or personnel or technology related issues, and then map those to which projects have been successful so that you understand what those indicators are? He's like, I don't know. So I later learned that Lockheed Martin went and took this idea. They're now analyzing, and I know they did it on one product line. I don't know if they've done it on others, but I think it was the F-35 line. They're analyzing project communications and emails to identify leading indicators of those kinds of issues. They claim they now have 3 times greater foresight and are saving hundreds of millions of dollars a year in cost overruns, which is all great for us as taxpayers. And of course, even in Portugal, I have to pay U.S. taxes because it's one of 2 countries in the world where they have citizen-based taxation, not residential taxation. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So anyway, I love that story because they're saving millions for taxpayers, and they're analyzing what would be data that was just freaking archived and nobody ever really thought about or used again.
Okay. But they have oversight over that data. So now it has to be preserved and held. They have to have some sort of metadata, even though it's unstructured mostly. And they have to have processes to do that. And they have to have some technology to support the analysis of all of that.
And so bring it online, not just sitting in an archive.
Right. And so they have all the bits and pieces. Yep. That's also something that the AI would lick his chops to dive into as well. So that's the kind of success stories that we don't have sitting out there in the public domain. I mean, you talk about quality, you go Toyota, you know, you talk about big financial management, you talk about JP Morgan. All right. And you talk about big case studies in how not to do things. And, you'll come up with an automobile company or something like that. But we don't have any big landmark examples of those, and that's one that should be out there, I guess, in the public
I mean, that's why I wrote this book. I mean, I wrote Data Juice because there were a number of examples in Infonomics. People were like, do you have any more examples? I'm like, yeah, I've got like 500 examples. Somebody said, like, put them into a book so that we can either be inspired or shamed into doing more with our data, right? And so the Data Juice book has 101 examples. I actually built a chatbot that I use during workshops that has over 1,000 use cases in it right now that we can use to ideate, to test ideas, to look up ideas. Hey, we've got customer experience data we want to, or we've got certain kind of data we want to improve customer experience in the name your industry. And I can come up with examples of those, and people can be either inspired or, you know, like I said, shamed into doing more with their data.
Is that something that's publicly available, or is that part of an engagement with you?
Yeah, no, I see there again, I haven't figured out how to monetize it. No, but yes, it's part of an engagement with me. Yeah.
One of the most talked about AI articles in 2025 was an MIT study that found that 95% of AI projects either failed to deliver or underperformed. Doug had some thoughts on the subject, and let's just say he didn't necessarily agree with the implication. He also talked about how vendors are leveraging AI to facilitate information management.
In the interest of time here, we're moving rapidly forward to top of the hour here. We have a question that I think we have one question we'd really like to get into, and it's something that I thread on LinkedIn. Doug, you weighed in with a really interesting thing on this MIT study and AI's not working and things like that. You weighed in on you said something really profound okay. that, you know, years and years have gone by where we never really wanted clear ROI. We, you know, this is just a, I think your, the, your point was, this is just a useless argument, you know, in the context of AI. So what's the value of AI? What are you seeing? And what are your thoughts on the MIT stuff and other stuff coming out on that? MIT did a survey and said 95% of all AI projects.
Failure. Yeah, we heard the same bullshit with in the big data.
Thank you. And you can use the bullshit word too, because we are allowing ourselves to swear this year. All right. Yeah. So Mark, you take that one.
I know we've seen similar statistics with data warehouses and analytics projects, and I'm sure there are a lot of challenges. A lot of companies are having a lot of challenges getting it to work. There's no doubting that data quality issues are causing these projects to fail, or at least to underperform. And so I wanted to get your thoughts on that statistic generally, but also then about what you're seeing in terms of companies using AI, generative AI, to actually help fix foundational problems. Because I think that's going to be one of the most significant changes in our field, in the data field. And we haven't even begun to see the impacts of it.
Yeah. All right. So first, right. So it's the same kind of headline grabbing bullshit study that, not that the study's bullshit, just that the implication is not useful. So it's the same thing we heard in the early days of big data and data warehousing, that all these projects are unsuccessful. Yeah. And yeah, they were. So are most experiments. And if you're a good scientist, every experiment is successful. You learn something from it, right? Yeah. And you either learn something from it or, right. Yeah, yeah, good. So so I don't really see a problem with that. You know, innovation isn't easy, right? Innovation has fits and starts. And if I'm failing at 95% of my AI projects, you know, 5% of those are successful. Let's focus on those. Let's build on those. Let's replicate those across the organization. Reuse them somehow. So that's kind of my take on that. So what was the second part of your question?
Second part was on how
you got me all flustered and excited by that study. Yeah.
Well, and sometimes I think those types of studies are geared towards causing a fuss and getting people to look at it. And you have to be, you know, almost have to be hyperbolic in order to cut through and get people to talk about it.
So why would they're being unsuccessful, right?
Yeah. It succeeded with us. We're talking about it. No, the other part of the question was how you've seen companies use tools like generative AI, right, in order to help fix foundational data problems.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's really broad and credit to a lot of the vendors that are out there really delivering some AI capabilities as part of their solutions, from intelligent data discovery to automatic data cataloging, automated data lineage mapping, machine learning to automate data cleansing, deduplication, classification, natural language querying of data catalogs, and continuous compliance monitoring, AI-driven policy enforcement, on and on. So a lot of those, I would highly recommend organizations get on that. Again, because we talked about it at the top of the podcast, that data governance isn't easy, it isn't fun, nobody wants to do it. And so let's make AI do it.
Yeah, as an AI person myself, this is one of the most exciting practical applications of this technology. I think there's just so much that we'd be able to do with it. And really move forward the stuff that we've been talking about for the last 30 years and really make some substantive progress.
10, 15 years ago, I started predicting this concept of self-organizing data, where data just organizes itself and readies itself for whatever use cases there are. And so I think we're getting close to that.
And then it was time to go.
Good to see you, buddy. Take care.
Thanks,
and you too.
Hopefully you'll see you in 26 when we get over
there. Love the Pam and the butterflies and the borboletos. My favorite new Portuguese word, borboletos.
Is that a butterfly?
Butterflies.
Yeah. Awesome. Right. I love it. Bye-bye.
All right. Cheers.
See Bye.
We wrap up our closet cleaning with a few outtakes from our conversation with Tony Shaw from Dataversity. We were talking about conference trends and specifically about the impact of AI. And Tony shared a little bit about how he uses AI. before AI kind of went kaboom, what were you thinking about in terms of the training trends and conference trends and what the industry was craving to learn? And then what has AI done to that? Because it seems everything else has been forgotten right now with AI. So what are your thoughts on that?
Two main ways in which I currently use it. One would be for idea generation and explaining things to me. I do find, you know, I have a simple question, you know, could be a household repair problem, but it, you know, I think Gen AI actually gives terrific answers to natural language questions. Yep. And then there's the actual creation of content. And I explained, you know, we use that for a variety of things to help. I've never used it to create an email. I don't find it expresses itself very well on my behalf. It doesn't express me very well.
No.
Ooh, ick. No.
Yeah.
Finally, filed under It's a Small World, Tony and Mark discover an unexpected connection. Mark is a real propeller head with this stuff. He has a PhD in AI, Tony. And so...
Oh, you know, Mark, I meant to ask you. Mm. So you're a UCLA grad. Did you ever know Leonard Kleinrock?
Yeah, I knew him. I didn't take any classes from him, but his office was across from my advisor.
Okay, yeah. I ran his company for about 10, 15 years.
Oh, wow.
Technology Transfer Institute.
Awesome. Oh, yeah, TTI. Yeah, I'll be darned. Yeah.
Tony, thank you very much for being our guest on the Rock Bottom Data Feed.
Thanks a lot.
Take care. Bye-bye.
That wraps Series 3. If you haven't heard the episodes from this series, go back and listen to them. In fact, binge listen the entire run of the show. If this is the first time you've heard us, it must be sort of like buying a DVD and only watching the deleted scenes. Oftentimes, they're interesting and advance the story, like these, but they make more sense when you have the context.
And be sure to visit dataversity.net and use discount code ROCK15, that's ROCK15, to get 15% off your first purchase.
Until next series, this has been John Ladley and Mark Cooper for the Rock Bottom Data Feed. Thanks for listening, and remember, when you're here, you've reached rock bottom.
You can find more information about the topics covered in this episode, The Fuss About the Third Series, at our website, rockbottomdatafeed.com.
The Rock Bottom Data Feed is a Counter-Threaded production, copyright 2025, all rights reserved.